Good morning and welcome to the Weldon Green podcast. Today I'm going to bring you a new episode of the Ask Weldon Show. You can check the show out live every day, 6:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. And remember that everything in the Mind Games brand is supported by the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. And you guys should use the code podcast as you're listening to the audio version of the show rather than the code that I share during the video. All right, let's hop into it. Good morning and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show, episode 232, Why Tarzaned and Tyler 1 Keep Winning. Today, one of the questions is talking about toxicity, especially at the highest level of play, and why it is that high-level toxic players can keep winning. So we're going to dig into that. And then we have some other great questions from Sam and James about future career relationships, mindfulness for gamers and non-gamers, various other stuff. Welcome to the show. This is the Ask Weldon Show, and my name is Weldon. This is the show where you ask me questions based on usually sports psychology, since I am a sports psychology trainer, but also could be about League of Legends or League of Legends coaching or any esport in general or life, as you will see in the show. We have a number of questions that are just kind of like not to do with esport at all. I don't think there's really many other updates. Nothing really happened between yesterday and today. So if you want to know what happened before yesterday, go check out yesterday's show. And you can ask questions to the show by going to anchor.fm/WeldonGreen, anchor.fm/WeldonGreen. That's my profile. And you can click the little plus audio message button, hold the phone up to your ear and just say, hi, blah, 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 and boom. Your questions will be entered into the show and I will get to them chronologically. So right now I'm doing every single question. There's only been a couple that I have turned down. Some of them malfunction, and then one of them was just kind of like off topic. That was it. Other than that, every single question gets answered. So it's the best time in the history of this show to ask your question, because who knows when I'll start getting crazy amounts of YouTube views and then you won't be able to break through the noise anymore. Get your questions in now before the wire. All right, let's jump into the first one. All right, first question here is from Sam, and it is about why mindfulness is important for gamers and non-gamers. And I realized I just forgot to put the question card up, so we'll just listen to it here.
Hey, Weldon. Sam, aka Just Casual here again from Wisconsin. Another question. When is mindfulness important, and when is it not important, if it ever is not important? I would love to hear an answer coming from a person that is not a gamer, a person that is into gaming, maybe casually, and from a person that's a pro player. Why does mindfulness matter or not matter? Thanks.
All right. So mindfulness is important for, let's cut through this. So we have two main questions. Why is mindfulness important for gamers? Why is mindfulness important for non-gamers? Okay, so we'll start with non-gamers. The most important impact that mindfulness has right now in the short term is reduce stress. So you can reduce your perception of pain and you can reduce anxiety. And some of that is placebo effect. So for example, there have been studies showing that the reduction in anxiety is no stronger than placebo and certainly not as strong as things like exercise interventions. There have been tests showing that the long-term like attrition rate of things like cognitive behavioral therapy is less when you have mindfulness fixed in. So mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy works better than in the long term, like sticking to it, than other stuff, than non-mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy. And so mainly it's being used as kind of like an anxiety reduction, stress reduction thing. You can also really rapidly increase your emotional like compassion, like your levels of compassion for other people compared to other skills, like attention and things like that. Like this happens sooner and faster with meditation than some of the other effects of meditation. So if we're talking like less than 60 hours or less than 100 hours of lifetime meditation, probably the most notable effects are going to be reduced stress, increased attrition to psychotherapy, increased impact long-term of psychotherapy, and the ability to generate more compassion if you do compassion-based mindfulness, like generating compassion, not the attentional regulation one. Okay. For gamers, then I think the most important effects of mindfulness are essentially like to try to get closer to flow state in a way, to try to get out of the past and the future moments and focus on the present. A lot of emotional struggles with gaming come from being, from doing online gaming, especially online competitive gaming. And a lot of that is based on judgment. So what other people think of you, or what you think, what you perceive other people think of you is the main issue. And so what mindfulness helps with that is the ability to kind of turn away from those judgmental issues and from the judgmental thinking and try to regulate your self-talk towards something that is healthier for you for online competitive gaming. And that is why I think mindfulness is most important for gamers. All right, so I'm going to question number two, which is from James.
Hi, Weldon, it's James. I'm going to be starting my first job very soon, and I was wondering if you have any advice for how to approach balancing my career and my personal life, specifically my relationships and my mental health. I found that in the past, my academics have tended to be traded off with my looking after myself and my relationships, and going into my career, I would like to like make the most in both worlds. I know in some careers it's not really possible, for instance esports, where you have to perhaps train 10 hours a day and then you don't really have time for relationships. But I, in my case, I will have time if I can, you know, use my time efficiently and if I have the energy for it. So yeah, do you have any suggestions? And is it possible to succeed in both areas?
All right. Great question. So this is a question mostly about balancing life. James asks, is it possible for me to balance relationship and career if I have the time, if my career is like balanceable? And what do you recommend? So first of all, yes, of course. There's generally speaking, it goes like this. If you have a career where you aspire to be the best of any human, then you have to sacrifice a lot to try to accomplish that. And that's going to include things like relationships. If you have a career where you aspire to be the best that you can be, then you can balance that as much as you desire to balance it with the things that are important to you. So, for a lot of people, it's not actually the career that's important. It's the relationship that's important, and the career is the thing that gets balanced onto that. So it's pretty easy to start off. Essentially, you just do the 9-to-5, right? You just commit yourself to 8 hours, and you check out of your job both physically and mentally when you're done. So if you have a desk job, you make sure that you don't take it home. You make sure that you like leave it on the table at your desk, and when you leave mentally as well, and you check into the other person's life and your life, and that's kind of like an independent, okay, my battery died, so I'm going to switch cameras here. And that's kind of like an independent thing compared to your, there we go. That's an independent thing compared to your work. So unless your spouse, you know, asks about your work, or unless you really want to talk about it, well, obviously you should talk about it. You know, you should review your day and go through everything that happened. But my point is, when your significant other or your spouse or your friend is talking to you, if you in your head are ruminating and like thinking, and what you're thinking about is, oh, I should have said this in this meeting, or you're thinking about how can I accomplish this thing? It's like, maybe I can solve it by doing this or this or this. Or you come home and you spend, you know, 3 hours in the office kind of working on your work. Well, that is the main issue, is when you're distracted by rumination related to your work while you're having a conversation with somebody else. So I would say the most important thing that you need to work on is kind of all-inning on the moment. When you're at work, you do work. And when you are talking to your friend, you're talking to your friend. And you're not like getting distracted and thinking about that, and you don't have like Slack on your phone and you're kind of like noticing the notifications and reading the messages. And I'm guilty of all of this. Everybody is, especially in a connected world nowadays. But I think that like you can set work hours on a lot of these messaging apps, and although you need them on your phone, you know, there's hacks that you can do to kind of keep them separated from your daily life. Like you can set that so you don't get notifications during certain hours from these apps, or you can get a really cheap throwaway, you know, smartphone that you use just for the work communication apps like Slack and Facebook for work or whatever, and just like literally like mute it when you get home, something like that. Something that clearly divides your attention so that you can spend your attention on the present moment and not thinking about the project that you're completing, whether or not you're going to be done on the deadline, the thing your boss said that is stressing you out that you're trying to interpret and you don't know what it really was, good or bad, and you want to go in tomorrow and get more signals from the workplace and kind of see, does he like me or did something happen? Like, what's the deal? Et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I think the balance here is going to be all about regulation of your attention when you're in a conversation or living your life in your house. That's all I got. Okay, let's jump into the final question. This is from Parth, not the Parth that all of you are immediately thinking of. Sorry.
Hey, Weldon. I was curious what your take is on good players that are also toxic, such as Tyler 1, Tarzan, Darduk, etc. Toxicity and performance don't seem to be correlated, which seems somewhat counterintuitive. That being said, how are these players able to maintain consistent high-level play when they're clearly tilted? Or do they just happen to win more during the times they're not tilted?
Yeah, so you're right. If you look at single one-off anecdotal evidence, then it seems like high-level play and toxicity aren't related. Except that what we're talking about is population studies, right? So we're talking about overall, people who are toxic lose more games, and overall, people who are not toxic win more games. And that's mostly because toxicity or tilt is a mental distraction. So you're kind of like distracting yourself from, I would say on average, not overall, sorry. So you're kind of distracting yourself from the present moment, from execution, from the performance moment, and instead you're letting your emotions like carry you to the past or the future, and you're therefore have a reduction in the amount of attention you're applying to the task at hand, and your skill consequently suffers by that amount. Now, I love players who perform well. I like people who are elite. It doesn't matter to me whether they're toxic or not, or whether they're tilted or not. In fact, a lot of the emotions that drive people to high levels of success, such as perfectionism and perfectionistic tendencies, often lead to very, I would say, like abrupt or abrasive personalities, like Darduk and Tyler 1 and Tarzan. So it's not surprising to me that there are people there, because these are the same people that inhabit the upper echelons of traditional sport. Generally speaking, if you're a well-balanced, happy individual, you don't spend 12 hours of your life trying to like reforge your identity in as a performer in order to like find some sort of happiness, right? There's usually a deep-seated identity crisis or underlying unhappiness associated with the pursuit of elite performance. And in the center of the bell curve, you'll find all the well-balanced, happy people who don't feel like that they need to do that to define who they are, okay? So there's this kind of like, yes, it's true that like if you're a well-balanced person, you're gonna do a little bit better than well-balanced people who are tilted. But if you're trying to pursue elite sport, you have to be a very amazing well-balanced person who's like top of the class, or generally speaking, you have to be dysfunctional in some way, because it's that dysfunction which spurs the unhealthy single-minded behaviors that lead you to get to the top. They're not very healthy. Behaviors like playing League of Legends 12 hours a day are not well-balanced, healthy behaviors. They don't lead to good outcomes for 99% of the population. They lead to you wasting all of your time spending 12 hours of playing League of Legends a day. But then for some people who focus very hard and are very self-critical and who, when they're emotional, kind of like because of the way that they were raised and because of their the way that their brain is wired, when they're emotional, they're focusing in and they're in flow state. Because that's not an exception, right? It's not that because you have emotion, you exit flow state. It's that normally emotion drives you to fixate on the past or the future. But if you're like a performer, emotion can drive you to focus harder on the execution. And self-criticism is actually the growth factor, I would say, towards like skill growth. So especially in esport. So people who are kind of like toxic to other people, they're kind of being toxic themselves too. You know, they're just as harsh on themselves as other people. Then there are those toxic who are like harsher on other people as a way to excuse themselves, right? So you would say that if you're looking at the top of the ladder, the elite performers, these are people who are harder on themselves mentally than they are on the people that they're railing against. And that is one of the reasons that their improvement led to the top instead of stymieing out in the middle. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but that's just kind of like a little bit of a dipping in of the swab into the cocktail of elite performance. Thanks for the question. Because it is interesting to people. They're like reading the in-between screen games, screen splash screens that say, you know, oh, don't be toxic. Toxic people tend to lose more. And then they're watching streamers who are toxic and high level. You also have to remember that like entertainment is selective. So you have all the high-ranked people, and then you have all the high-ranked people who are streamers, and then you have the successful high-ranked streamers who are entertaining on a daily basis, and the creation of that content usually is related to drama. So the drama button is pushed because when they push the drama button, they get requisite views coming out, right? And they get success coming out. So it's kind of like a conditioning system. It could be that they aren't actually internally as toxic as they appear on the camera, by pushing that button repeatedly, they're getting success. And so they know that that's what they need to do in order to make it as an entertainer. So there's a little bit of like a skewed perception of exactly what's happening in people's minds based on the theater that they are putting on. Okay, that's the show for you today. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And I can't jump to the ad because now my camera's broken, so I'll just run through it. But I have a program called the Mac program, and if you go to mindgames.gg/mac, you will find the Mac program. And the Mac program is an online video-based training program of 50 videos that takes you through mindfulness acceptance commitment protocol, which is the protocol that I did with CLG, with TSM, a little bit with G2, with the teams that I've won championships with, in order to train their mental resilience and to train their ability to focus on high performance. And this isn't high performance video games. This is high performance in life. Happens to be that they're doing video games, but you can apply this to lacrosse, to public speaking, to studies, to relationships, like James here wants to do, where you're focusing on your relationship and excluding, you know, things that are distracting you and causing you to ruminate on other stuff. And you can check out the Mac program by using the code ASKWELDON to get the discount and to signal that you're coming from this video. And yeah, if you get in under the wire, the beta is going to be starting in the next few months of the app, I hope, cross my fingers. And if you get in under the wire, then you get into the beta. And you'll get to beta the new app, which is not necessarily just 50 videos online anymore. It's actually a training app with the lectures and the mindfulness training sessions kind of regulated differently and more activities embedded within it. So that is coming. It's on the horizon. Make sure to keep in touch, keep in tune, keep abreast of news about that. All right, thanks again for the show, and I appreciate you stopping by. There's my little frozen camera on the end screen, and I will catch you guys tomorrow on my live show, which you can check out on the live streaming website .tv/mindgamesweldon. I can't say the live streaming website because right now YouTube is scanning for it. But anyway, every single day, 7:30 p.m. Los Angeles time. Talk to you tomorrow. That's the show for you today. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can check out the show live at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon every day, 6:30 p.m. And you can join the pre and post show chat where I answer questions from the audience in depth. We can kind of dig into them deeper because you're there to respond. And make sure that if you check out the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC, that you guys use the code podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.